You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
The other big thing for Rough Riders in 99 is DMX's third album. And then there was X. So the first album was a lot of PK and Dame Grease. Second album was a lot of Swiss.
Mm-hmm.
So the third album is actually kind of a blend. First single, What's My Name?
Yep. This was Irv, right?
Yeah. We can go. I have track by track notes on this, but we don't have
no.
to.
No.
Yeah, it's Self and Irv Gotti.
Okay. Irv is Self. Self.
It's I used to love What's My Name.
Yeah, What's My Name was hard. The video was hard too.
It's not like an amazing record, but I used to love that record.
Yeah.
The second single was What These Women Want. What These Chickens Want.
What These Chickens Want from a Player.
Which of course is produced by Nokio.
Nokio from Drew Hill, yeah.
And features Cisco.
Classic video for Cisco rocking distressed overalls with the one and only Gloria Velez. Classic moment in hip hop history.
This song is funny, but it kind of works.
So, yeah. I saw a shirt and I used to want it. I don't want it now. But there was a shirt. You know how like those shirts used to be, how they would have like the names like of all the different people or whatever? So if it was like a group of people, it would have like their last names on there. Do you remember those shirts?
I don't think so.
So it would be like, so I had one that was like the starting five of the Chicago Bulls. So it was like Jordan and
Pippen and Kukoc. Yeah.
There was a shirt that had every single girl that DMX referenced on the third verse.
Oh, wow.
It was crazy. I used to want it, but...
You need to get a shirt made up like that with all the people who are on P90X.
That's stupid.
And yet you're thinking about it right now.
No, I'm not. I am thinking about getting a solid gold leather Kairos jersey, though.
Third single was Party Up.
This is far and away DMX's most popular single, right?
It is, and...
It's more popular than Rough Riders Anthem,
that
right?
That just hurts my soul. This is peak Swissery.
Oh my God.
They're, my brother. Go ahead.
No. I'm just agreeing with you. Go ahead.
So many whistles. And then the whole thing at the end, the 1, 2, I mean, like that whole, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's another under mentioned Swiss ad lib.
What's that?
Yo. On my street people.
I forgot that that he takes shots at Corrupt on this.
Corrupt, yep.
Oh, because of calling out names.
Because of calling out names, yep. Because remember, DMX was on Foxy Brown's second album.
Well,
supposedly, on a song called A Dog and a Fox.
Right, and supposedly DMX and Foxy were, you know.
Right.
And Corrupt was engaged to Foxy.
He was.
Party Up is it's kind of, I don't know how to explain it. It's kind of like a club record for DMX.
Totally is a club record.
Right.
But it's not like, I think it was a club record in 2000 or 99.
Right. Totally.
Came out. It was a club record.
Totally
a club record. I think you could play it in a club now in a sort of ironic sort of way.
Right. I think at the time this came out, there were a lot of dudes who were calling chicks mommy, calling themselves Poppy.
Me being one of them. I didn't call myself Poppy though. I was calling a lot of chicks mommy though.
You have
evidence of that.
Those are three pretty well-known DMX singles. How do you feel about the rest of this album?
Let me look at the track listing real quick.
There's a lot of generic songs on here.
Yeah.
So to me, this album is not, there isn't the dopeness of the first album, but it's also not as
cheesy
and cheesy as the second album. It's just kind of,
I agree with that. And for an artist as big as DMX to make an album like this on their third album, like, says a lot.
Right.
Like, it's funny, like, DMX is never compromising. So this is 1999. This is still primo prime DMX, like, and he's making an album like this.
I feel like there was definitely a transition though, right? Because there were a lot of albums in like 99 and 2000, that era where outside of the songs that worked, there was just a lot of generic.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we were, you know, it's funny to say it now, right? Because the idea of there being a keyboard beat now is just stupid, right? But right. at the time, there was this notion of, oh, we're going with less samples and more stuff that's played. There was these kind of generic-ish songs because people were trying to sort of, especially on like the quote-unquote like grimy songs for an album or like posse cuts, they were trying to recreate what kind of works in a sample but doesn't really work when it's just a keyboard.
Are you talking about specifically like DXL on this album?
I think DXL is an interesting example. I think Make a Move is an example. Yeah, I think there are examples like that.
I remember not liking DXL like everybody else did. I remember that being like on a fat tape. Later on, like I've come to appreciate it. More specifically, Styles. Hmm. Styles is also a great verse opener. Like this verse, right? I mean, he just completely starts off with Holiday Styles.
I think Styles is overrated.
Ooh. Yeah, you're bugging.
No, I think he's overrated.
You're bugging. Styles' run was dope. So that like
really?
Gangsta the Gentleman. Styles, Gangsta the Gentleman.
That's not a great album.
Hold on. The reason why it was a great album was because people weren't expecting Styles to have a great album.
Well, we should save that because we may talk about that on a future episode, right? If we end up...
Sure.
But I don't know. Styles was always kind of overrated to me.
Yeah.
What else sticks out for you on this album?
Yeah, DXL. What's My Name? What These Chicks Want? I remember liking Fame and One More Road to Cross. Other than that, I was... I remember like
Cross being so bad.
Yeah, one more. I used to love that song.
Like, come on.
But that's like a perfect DMX beat. Like, that's super him. I remember not liking this album and like kind of being a little worried about it.
Hmm.
Because I loved Flesh in My Flesh. I loved His Dark and Hell is High. And I loved everything that DMX did. But then this album, I was like, it's all right.
See, for me, I'm trying to think. When did this album come out? This album came out...
The end of 99, like December 99.
Right. And so... I feel like at the end of the year, I just ended up buying a bunch of albums with my Christmas money. So this got wrapped up into that whole Def Jam 2000 run.
Sure.
Like I would just buy stuff.
Yeah. Literally every Tuesday something was out and like you almost had to buy it.
Right. When did that second Method Man album come out? Was that 98 or 99?
I want to say it's early 90s. I remember getting pushed back a lot. I want to say it's like early, like summer
99. No, it was late. It was November 98. All right. But I bought that around Christmas. You know what I mean? Like, even though it came out in November, like there would just be.
I remember.
Oh, Blackout. I bought Blackout, even though that came out in September. I didn't buy that until. So like November and December, as I started getting like Christmas money in, I would just buy all these albums. And that DMX album was one of them. But my expectations after a second album were so low that I was like, okay. But I'm sorry, you were saying that you remember...
I remember not being able to get that Method Man album for like a good 6 weeks.
Mm.
Because either... Actually, it was sold out everywhere. So my local mom and pop shop, independent, it was sold out there. And then the Sam Goody in the mall, like it was sold out there consistently. Like I could not get that album. So back then... So
Def Jam undershipped. I'm just kidding.
Maybe. I mean, I would attribute it to, he probably undershipped, but like back then, like Meth was that dude.
Yeah.
Like for real. And people, that album got a lot of pub. People were really wanting that album.
Mm.
So, yeah.
So, anything else really stand out from And Then There Was X for you? Well, actually, let me ask you this. DMX's albums, even once like the full like Rough Rider sound was in effect, right? There's a lot of DJ Shock on this, PK, Swiss, but there's some Irv Gotti and Dame Grease as well. Like, this is a whole mix, but his albums totally, to me, stood out from the rest of the Rough Riders albums.
DMX's?
Yeah.
How so?
This doesn't sound anything really like Rough Riders Volume 1. Sounds nothing like Eve's album. And it doesn't even sound like the Lox album to me.
I agree with that.
His albums were just kind of, DMX was his own thing.
And he kind of had to be.
I don't know. I mean... I didn't really love And Then There Was X, but we're going to talk about the Lox album in a minute, and I wish DMX would have got some of those beats, you know?
Mm.
But you were worried for DMX after this.
I wasn't worried. It was just interesting that I didn't love the album like I loved everything else DMX did. Yeah, let's move on.
So now we're going into early 2000. Got the second Lox album, the highly anticipated Lox album.
Extremely anticipated. Released
the same day as, I know it's pretty sure it's the same day as Voodoo, and it's right around the same time as Supreme Clientele.
Wow. Okay, I do remember it coming out around the same time as Supreme Clientele.
The same day.
Oh, wow. I definitely picked. Did I buy both or did I do?
I'm pretty sure I bought both.
I don't know if I had both, but if I had to pick one at that time, I would have picked the Lox over Ghostface. Mm. But at that time, I really loved Mighty Healthy.
Apollo Kids, you know. Man.
Apollo Kids was dope. Apollo Kids was dope. Mighty Healthy for me was just.
Yeah, like, no, I loved Mighty
Healthy. Mighty Healthy was nuts.
But let's talk about this Lox album. Actually, we haven't really talked about all the drama with the Lox.
No, we haven't.
So the Lox were on Bad Boy.
Yep.
They signed a Bad Boy, but they didn't really like the extremely commercial direction that they went in 97.
Mm.
And in fact, Jada was supposed to be on, was it More Money, More Problems?
Yes.
And he refused to write. I mean, the deal was basically you write Puff's verse and then you get a verse. And he,
you get a verse and you get a verse.
And he didn't want it. So instead, Mace takes it and becomes a superstar.
Crazy. Freaking Jada.
Way to go, Jadakiss.
I mean, yeah.
I hear you. I'm sure they had reasons. And look, Puff's no angel.
No, he's not.
So there. When did the Free the Lox campaign start?
Like the end of 98,
right?
In the 99, it was shortly after the No Way Out tour,
right? They were always affiliated with Rough Riders. And in fact, they brought. Yeah. I mean, them being a part of Bad Boy is how Dame Grease got to work on like Mace's album and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Uh huh.
So wait, is this the famous? Is the Lox trying to get off Bad Boy? Is that the source of the famous threat against Puff on the radio with the refrigerator?
No, that's way down the line.
That's what I thought.
That was like 04, 05. Okay.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's a classic moment.
Oh my God. The stainless double door joints. Yeah, if you go on YouTube and search, you know, the Lox Puff Daddy Hot 97 and just listen to the whole thing, it's probably a good 30 minutes, but it's amazing. It's amazing.
So we get this album called We Are the Streets with one of the dumbest album covers. I mean, really, have you seen this thing?
What, the album cover?
Yeah, they're in concrete.
They're because they are the streets.
That's such a reference.
Like I don't even know why you're even thinking about this.
Like, what's the problem?
Yeah, what's the problem? Exactly. What? No, not what's the problem. What's your problem?
So first single is Wild Out.
Oof.
Which comes out in 99. I think that was out like a little early for the album. I can't remember.
Yeah, it was out a little early. Because it was more so like this is a reintroduction of the Lox rather than this is a new album coming out.
By the way, the Wild Out is the other song that completely rips off the beat from Jigga.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. In a very bad way.
Yeah. It's the same melody.
Same, yeah. It's terrible.
I kinda wanna go track by track on this album.
All right.
I was going to say, because this is actually not a bad album. I know, stunning praise, but considering there's a lot of Swiss beats on here, well, we don't have to go track by track if you don't want to.
Nah, we can rock out.
We got an intro, but whatever. F.U., produced by Swiss.
Hard.
I always like this song, and I'm happy to report that it completely holds up. I love how Sheik starts his verse.
Sheik murders this. This might be Sheik's best verse ever.
I think it's Styles who goes just before him. When Styles is rapping, you hear Sheik in the background, like getting ad libs, like he's ready, and then he just jumps in.
Yeah,
it's dope. Yeah. So like this Swiss beat is. I'd rather hear it. Like, where is this type of Swiss beat for DMX?
Mm.
There's some other ones
too,
later.
Is this too slow for DMX?
That's interesting. You think DMX needs the tempo?
Yeah, I think DMX is a tempo rapper.
Ah, that's interesting. The problem though is that when Swiss cranks up the tempo, you're going to get whistles.
Well, I'm thinking of like, cause on the only slow records I can think of is like, Who We Be. And I don't, that's not a good DMX song.
Say Started Something isn't that fast of a record.
No. It's not that fast, but that's not slow either.
Right. It's mid tempo.
It's still in like the '80s, which is fine.
Okay.
Like FU is like, that's gotta be like 78, 79.
So nerdy. We're losing everybody right now.
We're like nerding over.
You're like, no, that's not 81. That's 78. So that's just slow.
That's 81 to 78 is a huge difference. You know that.
I do. I was working on something earlier today and I was like, 85 or 86? 85 or 86?
Oh, that's nerdy.
I love F.U. though. Great record.
Yeah, super dope.
Can I Live with Casino?
It was all right.
This beat's not good. We got a skit, Breathe Easy, produced by P. Killer. This beat is
classic.
Dope.
Classic.
Like, this great hook. Lox had some good hooks, especially on this album. Like, I feel like they were saving stuff up for this album.
Sure. Which leads me to believe that they've probably set on, like, some absolutely amazing records.
Right.
Waiting on this perfect idea for this third album.
Felony. I'll just say Felony Brothers. Produced by Swiss. So this is the Styles solo. So every member gets a solo here. This is the Styles solo. What do you think?
Yeah, it was all right.
Unfortunately for Styles, this is not the right beat for him. Wild Out. The entire concept of the song is basically, if you're happy that the Lox are on Rough Riders, Wild Out. Not my favorite. I used to kind of like it at the time. Hasn't aged well.
You're glad the used to like
it. Is Rough Riders now?
Now? Come on, niggas.
Wild Out.
Oh!
Swiss was really trying. A lot of effort. Let's talk about Blood Pressure.
Please.
This record is a classic.
Absolutely.
Produced by Swiss. Great beat. This is the record that validates Jadakiss's like promise.
I agree with that.
Yeah. I used to listen. Because this is the thing. I mean, again, like you said, you'd have only a handful of new CDs. So you would be listening to stuff over and over again. So, like, when you're on this album, you're like, all right, F you, yep, listen to that. Okay, let me skip ahead to Breathe Easy. Okay, let me skip ahead to Blood Pressure. Like, you're just running through some of these songs, and then you just, you know, I must have listened to Blood Pressure, like, I don't know, 8,000 times. I love Blood Pressure.
Yeah.
It's probably one of my favorite Swiss records. But that would be a really interesting list to make.
Best Swiss Beats records?
Yeah, best Biz Sweets.
Biz Sweets.
Show them what you're working with. Let's talk about Recognize.
Yes.
With Eve, produced by DJ Premier. I was so pumped for this record in 2000.
Oh, I know where you're going. Don't do this.
I'm so, so sad to report that Primo did not give them an A beat.
You are bugging!
Sorry. This is not an A plus, an A, or even an A minus. It's like a B Primo beat. None of Y'all Better is way better.
It's very interesting. I wonder, like, what's the better record? I never thought about which one's the better, because I love them both.
I don't like the beat to Recognize. Like, I just, no. It's like how people like the beat to Mathematics. It's like, huh?
Oh, yeah, you bugging.
Those are not good. And listen, I'm the world's number one Primo stan right here. Like, those are not.
That's probably what's holding you back right now from flourishing like you should.
Wow.
We'll be raping you. That's actually like one of the few good Rough Rider skits though. And the funny part is the rapper is Jay Hood. That's the funny part.
Oh, Jay Hood.
Jay Hood.
He had like, what was that one?
He didn't have a record. He had a freestyle.
No.
He had a freestyle of a 1-900 hustler on a clue tape. Jay Hood ain't had no records.
No, he had like one. It wasn't like an official single. It was one of those things that you would find on like IRC. There was one record of his that I really liked.
I don't know.
I might have to go look that up. Y'all Left Up Now?
Nope.
Nope. Sorry, Swiss. Never liked that one. Scream LOX, produced by PK?
Nope.
You Told Me, featuring Eve, produced by Swiss. The second half of it, there's a lot of struggle in the second half of this album.
Yeah, there is.
Let's talk about Ride or Die Chip.
Oh, man.
Really sticks out, but it's a good commercial record.
It was.
I like this record.
Yeah.
I like the beat.
Of course you do.
What?
don't you do that with me.
It's Timbo in 2000. There's a pretty decent chance it's going to be a good beat, and it is.
Exactly.
So they obviously either... it's one of those things where I'd love to hear, like, I don't need a whole, like, long series on the making of We Are the Streets, like, it's a classic, but I'd love to know if they had Ride or Die Chick in the can and they were just sort of, like, waiting to put it out, or if they're getting close to the release and people at Interscope and Rough Riders are like, you need a single, we're calling in Timbo.
I don't know, because Ride or Die Chick is so good, it doesn't seem like an 11th hour Hail Mary. So, I don't know.
Bring It On, produced by Swiss, which is the Chic solo record.
Nope.
I know, it's disappointing. Actually, there's... So, if you know, that's the record that sounds fair in Ocasio. You know what? You should play it right now.
I should. Hold on. Let me hear it.
I might get drunk.
with the Swiss scratches in it.
Yeah.
No, like I know, like I know. That's funny.
It's a Renaissance fair, man.
I just saw like the town drunkard and the right. town friar.
Except it's Swiss with the bandana.
Showtime, m'lady. See, that's straight Robin Hood Men in Tights. Right. Shout out to Doc for randomly sending me a Robin Hood Men in Tights video in one of our random Twitter exchanges. Classic.
See, if we were still naming episodes after random lines in each episode, I would definitely call one of these sides Showtime, my lady. How do you feel about We Are the Streets? Was this, like, at the time, was this what you were expecting? Was it not that great? What were you thinking?
I liked it. I liked it. I think our review, for the most part, is spot on. The good songs are still, like, notably good. Like, we still remember them for being good, and the bad songs are still known for being bad.
It's one of those things where, like, I wasn't a really big Rough Riders fan at all, and yet I owned all these albums.
That's funny.
I really just owned everything. Not surprising, right? I mean,
but that's what we did. That's what we did back then,
right? See, now you're gonna.
Hello, Baxter.
Swiss really tried, man. He really put a lot of effort into those hooks.
He was there.
We're not even gonna say. And then We Are the Streets, the last album. I mean, the last song. No. So overall, it's funny because the first Lox album, which we talked about in the Bad Boy Retro. That's not really that great either. Jada's albums were always a mix of great and kind of... They never really put it together.
They never did.
Like, individually, as a group, like, just a lot of potential. All right. There's a couple of things we need to move through. We got to talk about Ride or Die Volume 2, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about that. And then we can spend like 5 seconds talking about that Dragon album. But
Dragon's album came out after Ride or Die Volume 2?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think so, right? Because... It kind of sets that up. Kind of sets him up, right? No, you're right. Wait, that Dragon album came out first. Oh.
Yeah, I feel like it did because...
oh, goodness.
Ride or Die Volume 2 was a set up Jadakiss.
Right. Well, right. Oh, okay. Well, that Dragon album's awful. Like, no joke. I took track by track notes. I'm not going to subject the good people who listen to this show to track by track notes.
I need you to respect yourself a little bit more, Doc.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I was like, listen. I mean, actually, I'm not gonna lie. Everything we've talked about in this episode, I listened to twice over the past week.
Okay.
The first, right? It doesn't sound like a lot, right? But there's a lot of stuff. But basically, the first time just to listen, and then when I'm going through and taking the notes, it's like, oh, that song, and then I write my notes, and then I move on. I wasn't exactly listening to all of, say, Ladies 2000, which is an incredible song title for Dragon.
Ladies 2000.
It's no Sorry 2004, but it's up there. Everything about that song is hilarious. The title, the beat, the concept. No.
Ladies 2000. 2000 ladies.
Let's talk about Spit These Bars. Yeah, First of all, I feel lied to my entire life. Swiss did not produce Spit These Bars.
Really?
DJ Shock did. I had no idea. Because Spit These Bars was always one of my canonical like early Swiss beats that I loved. But no. But Spit These Bars, I used to love that song.
Yeah.
I'm surprised I didn't get talked into buying this Dragon album just because of how much I like that song.
I was going to buy it, but this is one of the first albums that I downloaded and burned.
Ooh. And you learned pretty quickly.
Yeah. No. I'm sorry. We didn't download. Somebody out the crew bought it.
Oh, and then you copied it.
And we copied it. It was to the point where we would find the album cover. And we would print it. My friend had a color printer. His dad had a color printer. We'd print out the color printer. We would cut out the outline of the album cover with an X-Acto knife. And then we put tape over it.
Wow. I mean, you might as well just bought the album. Like, that's a lot of work, man.
No. Let's also not forget that this is 2000.
Right.
So... The burners may have been 2X.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're probably on a 2X burner because I remember being impressed when I went to college in the fall of 2000 and my roommate had a 4X and I was like, oh, whoa. God.
Yeah, my dad bought a 4X.
The 4X meant that you could burn an album in less than 20 minutes, which meant you could kind of do it on your way out for the night.
Yep. Now, with a 1X or a 2X, you had to dedicate at least an hour. You had to not do anything on your computer.
You couldn't do anything. If you did anything, there was a decent chance that there was going to be a problem.
Absolutely. It could even, your computer couldn't even go idle.
Nope. You had to kind of sit there and just kind of move the
mouse. Move the mouse around every 10 minutes or so. And yeah.
Oh,
man.
Struggle.
It took us like 3 hours to make one copy of the Murderers album. So when my dad bought that 16X burner, man, I was in business. I was in Birdman, $100 million business.
So the two singles from this were Spit These Bars. Was there another single?
Yeah.
What was it?
Not No Love For Me, but...
Was it Die For Me?
Yes.
Okay.
The second goofiest.
What is going on with
that
beat?
Is this goofier? This is goofier than Maniac, right?
This is probably the most... Yeah. No joke. Please play it. Go ahead.
We played this on the show, but why not?
Let's go.
All right, here's the deal. That's a beat that you would make for a British officer in the Revolutionary War. That's how I would describe that beat. That is awful. I really think it's a case of... Well, you notice Swiss and Eve, they pretty much just got a lot of Swiss beats.
Yeah.
Lox and DMX, they could be a little choosier.
Yeah.
Boy, that was a single, huh? Wow.
Oh, hey, side note. Mobb Deep just announced a new album that will be produced entirely by The Alchemist.
I know I'm supposed to be excited, but I'll wait. Is there anything, aside from Spit These Bars, is there anything good on this album?
I used to like, Ready For War, the song with the Lox.
This.
But it's basically, it sounds like somebody like raiding a Russian military camp or something like that.
It's funny you say that because you know what those sirens sound like? Did you ever play Metal Gear Solid?
Yes.
It's those sirens when you're detected by the guards.
Yes. Ree.
Play this one song. Hold on. Oh no! I just got detected. You gotta go run around the corner. Gotta go
run. Find a box that you can hide under. Now, I just want to explain to the listeners who should go back and listen to this song. That horn or that siren is in the entire beat.
Every bar, right?
Yeah. Every second bar.
The second bar. It's just there. It's like it's supposed to be there, not an accident.
Oh, how are you going to chop up this episode? Because people need to hear all of this.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, I think that was it. Other than that,
Hold on. Can you play The Way Life Is?
Oh, yes. Yes. Of course I can. Okay. Doesn't this kind of remind me of Block Lockdown?
Oh. Yeah.
As soon as I heard this, I knew I was like, yo, Doc is gonna like kill this beat. Rules to everything, you know? I see life. It's the introspective life song. Everybody had this. How they try to make us see it.
Yo, it's like a Christmas song, except somebody hits the randomizer button on the bells and the chimes. It's just like, and then Case sings the hook on this.
Yeah, I was about to. I don't know. Yes, I just had to let. Yo, well, it's the hook. Yes, I just had to let. Hold on, I gotta hear the hook. Hold on. People come, people go. That's the way life is. And he raps under him?
Here's the one, you know, one thing we haven't talked about with Swiss, it sounds like a weird thing to say is an innovation because it makes sense. One thing that he did that nobody else really did is whatever melody the hook was in, like the person who was doing the sing-songy hook, the beat would do the same thing.
Absolutely.
So when it worked, it was catchy.
Jigga my nigga.
When it doesn't work, it's awful.
One more road to cross.
Yeah. Oh God, there is just awful stuff all over. This is a bad album.
Yeah, like I remember this got 2.5 mics in The Source, and like people weren't anticipating the Drag On album. Like he had a buzz. So when he got their 2.5 mics, like his buzz was gone before the album even came out.
Oh, you're right, because he references the 2.5 mics on Twisted Heat.
Yeah, when he got the 2.5 mics, like people were done with him. They were like, nope.
Right, because the source basically. It was like, if your album came out and it was about what we expected and you were a big name, you got 4.
Yep.
If it was kind of secretly weak, you got 3.5.
Yep.
A 3 was a statement.
A 3 was like, yo, this is bad.
2.5 is unheard of.
Yeah, like, I think the lowest I've seen, Young MC got 1 mic.
That was a statement.
But I mean, it's Young MC.
They were doing that on purpose.
Yeah, that in retrospect, that was a troll. But yeah, nobody got under 3 mics.
2.5 is they were really saying something.
Yo, this is terrible.
They were really saying something.
Yeah,
and it's weird because that's total grade inflation. Because technically, 2.5 should be eh.
Yeah,
but it's not. If it's you got anything under a 4, they didn't really like your album.
Something was wrong.
So the problem is there was way too much stuff in the 4 and 4.5 range. Actually, 4.5 was pretty rare too. Everything got 4.
Yeah, everything got 4.
Everything.
Everything got 4.
4.5 meant... Actually, didn't DMX's first album get 4.5?
4? Yeah, got 4.
I thought that...
Nah, DMX never got 4. The only albums I know that got 4.5 were...
Life Story.
Life Story, Moment of Truth, The Truth.
Oh, I remember when The Truth got 4.5. That album was not worth 4.5.
Yeah, the album was not 4. I think they were just hype.
Yeah.
They were hype because Beanie had a nice little buzz. Those are the only albums that I can remember. Everything else... Really, everything else got 4.
And then after that point, it got all weird.
Then it got weird.
Right.
You know, then Blueprint got... Then Stillmatic got 5 mics because they didn't want to take sides.
Right, Blueprint I was okay with. Stillmatic I was not.
It was not 5 mics.
Stillmatic is the definition of a 4-mic album.
Yes.
But there was such variance. Like, I remember Nori's album got 4 mics.
Yep.
That album's not that good.
Hey.
It's like half really good and half filler.
Hey.
Okay, anyway.
Hey, we're not going to slander niggas on the run eating. That's not what we're going to do today.
That's
not
a great first single.
Oh, my God.
And right. No, he had really good singles. Biden the Trunk is dope. But anyway. All right.
We need to do a Capone Noriega retro?
No.
Maybe we need to do a Queensbridge retro, though.
That's interesting.
Interesting.
So let's finish this sprawling retro with Ride or Die Volume 2. And we are absolutely going track by track on this.
Ride or Die Volume 2. Listen, let me say this, because I don't think I've ever said this.
Okay.
We, like, World War III should be on the Clock Radio Speakers bingo board.
Mm-hmm.
I used to love this song.
No, I still, well.
No, I like the DJ Clue Desert Storm version that has Fabulous and Paul Kane on there.
I like the beat, despite its ridiculousness.
And I like Jadakiss on it.
I like, Scar, I don't mind
like
Scarface.
Young One on there, too.
I don't mind Scarface.
I like Young One. Ride or Die, nigga, puss him in ya. I just don't like Snoop.
Right.
Snoop does not fit well on this beat at all.
No, but it was 2000, and if you wanted somebody, if you were doing something, you're like, I need somebody from the West Coast, Snoop was very available.
Yes. Agreed.
I had a feeling Snoop was like, you know, you sign the check and I'm there.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
World War III was a single.
It was.
There was a video.
Mm-hmm.
And everything.
That was the first person. They were the first group to reference not being industry, but in the streets.
Oh, you're right. I love World War III, though. Like, that's nostalgia for me. This is the summer between when I graduated high school and when I went to college.
Yep.
A lot of nostalgia. I used to try to get my keys to one of my parents' cars so I could ride around and listen to music. And this was one of the CDs I was playing.
Yes. Absolutely.
So, World War III, kind of corny, but dope.
Yep.
2 Tears in a Bucket, which is Chic, Red and Meth,
yep,
produced by Swiss. How you feel about this?
I used to like it at the time. I do not like it now.
Redman is really good on this.
Redman on Cruise Control is better than probably 85% of MCs.
I like Redman when he gets out of that comfort zone. Like,
yes.
For beats. The Wu stuff.
Okay, beat-wise.
Yeah, beat-wise. Like, when he works with Wu, like, when you get him on different kind of beats, you realize, oh, yeah, Redman's dope.
Yeah. My favorite song off Blackout was probably, what, Run for Cover?
Run for Cover's dope. Blackout has a lot of dope records. Actually.
It does.
It's not a classic.
No, but it's really, really... That's a 4-mic album.
Serial Killer.
Oh, Serial Killer. I mean, of course, the Rock Wilder.
Yeah.
Should We Even Turn It Out was a dope single.
Mm, I forgot about Turn.
That was the single. That was the first single.
Right. And then Rockwilder came out and everyone's like, oh.
Exactly.
Let's talk about God at All. Eve and Jada. This song sucks.
I hated this song. And I was thinking like, okay, what song do I like more? What song do I like less? Who's That Girl or Gangsta Lovin'? I don't know.
You really don't like Gangsta Lovin' that much, huh?
Oh, man. You know, I'm biased because, yeah, you know.
I know. Got It All, who I should point out, produced by Teflon. I think this was Teflon's first beat. I remember reading an article, like a thing in The Source or somewhere, maybe it was Scratch or something, where he talked about it because it was something like, after he bought the beat to this, he went out and bought a Jeep. You might, wow, what a thought. I sold one beat. I can go buy a car. Doesn't want that anymore.
Hey.
Anyway, it was the late 90s, early 2000s. It was a different time.
Everybody was making money.
Yeah, it's sure, not a good
was,
record.
Yeah, it wasn't a good record. But it was kind of a hit.
Yeah, it was the first single. I mean, this album, first week, sold 254,000 copies.
Sounds about right. That was another midnight release. This came out the same day as Nellyville. Or not Nellyville, Country Grammar.
Mm. Yeah, it came out July 4th.
Country Grammar.
Track 4, Ride or Die Boys. Struggle. Young One, Akbar, Cassidy, some guy named Shiz Lansky. What is going on
here? Yeah, Meyer Lansky, yeah, Shiz Lansky, yeah. That was Cassidy's whole crew.
It's a holiday, it's a skit. So then you get Holiday, which is the Styles solo record.
Yep.
How do you feel about it?
I used to like this song.
I feel like people used to like this, but this does not hold up at all.
Yeah, it didn't hold up well. Holiday, yeah, mm-mm.
Nope. Yeah, no. Dragon, Weed Hose and Dough, no. I'm just getting grunted.
Can you find a more stereotypical rap song than Weed, Hoes, and Dough?
I'm telling you. Dragon was the godfather to this Papooser.
Oh, my God. At least Papoose had Law Library.
Tell me you couldn't see Dragon listening to that and going, oh, you know, he was onto something.
That's right. And the funny part is, before the song starts, he says, pushing for the single.
Oh, Fright Night. Oh, God. Woo! Was this the first time we heard Swiss as like a rapper?
Yes.
So this is Busta and Swiss. Is this the first time we... No.
Don't forget the really gaudy skit with Funkmaster Flex.
Oh, yeah.
Where Swiss is basically telling Funkmaster Flex, hey, Funkmaster Flex my song.
How do you feel about Fright Night?
It's the scariest song I've ever heard in my life.
Seriously, how do you like Fright Night? It's the scariest song.
It's a funny song.
It's a song that it's like Swiss and Busta really try.
I can tell they're really trying to like
make it work.
They're really trying to F the streets up.
Right. But the it just doesn't work at all.
Hold on, this is the funny part. Can I have everybody's attention,
please? can I have everyone's attention, please? You're already listening to the song, but can I have your attention?
Burp, 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 burp. Yeah.
All right. We got the Jada
Somebody's
Kiss solo.
Somebody's been taking piano lessons.
We got the Jada Kiss solo. My name is Kiss.
This song was cool.
These beats are not holding up at all.
Yeah, it was all right.
Of course. The reason why we wanted to do this retro in the first place. Listen, I love Twisted. I joke about it. I make fun of it. It's got a ridiculous beat with a ridiculous beat switch and an incredible Swiss Beats interlude.
Get ignorant.
All right, here's the best part. See, my wife has never heard this song, I think, up until this past week. So,
oh, wow.
Well, she wasn't really listening to Rough Riders in 2000.
I'm just surprised you guys have been together for so long that you just hadn't played this for on a whim one day.
Well, I really went deep on the Wu-Tang education, but when it came to Swizzery, it wasn't quite there.
You guys might not be married today.
But the best part is, like, I'm playing it, and I'm like, now hold on. She's like looking at me like, huh? And I'm like, I know the beat is goofy, but wait for the beat switch. And then, like, you know, Swiss is coming on. I'm like, are you paying attention? Like, I'm all excited. And she's like, And then, you know, the beat switch happens, and I'm just like, you know, bopping my head, and I'm like, this is great. And she's like, Like, so
that's the worst feeling. That's the worst in the world when you're like,
no, I'm not knocking her, because what it made me realize is this is one of those songs where if you don't have the benefit of nostalgia,
gotcha. You had to be there.
This song is super goofy.
Gotcha.
Like really goofy.
I would love to hear this song for the first time in 2015. I wish I was afforded the same luxury as your wife.
I'd be sitting there going, wait, what? You would be asking questions like, so this was a thing?
Oh, it absolutely was. Oh, I went to summer school that year because I failed biology class. And that's all we listened to. It's all we listened to.
I used to love when I'd look on a track list and I'd see a Twisted guest verse.
Oh, man.
You know what Twisted guest verse is? No, like, people don't ever talk about the stuff he did for Puff's two first albums.
Is This the End? And Is This the End too? Yeah. Is This the End was classic. That was probably his breakout. That was probably his breakout after Poe Pimp, right?
Adrenaline Rush.
Well, guest verses.
Oh, guest verses.
Yeah, because people bought Adrenaline Rush because of Poe Pimp. And then people heard Adrenaline Rush, the song, and they were like, whoa, wait a minute. That album has some joints.
See, now I'm going to want some Poe Pimp. Anyway, I love it.
Oh, Poe Pimp was great.
We love Twisted Heat. We make fun of Twisted Heat, but we love Twisted Heat. All right.
Yep, absolutely.
Go ahead.
This is my other favorite song on the album besides Twisted.
This beat is sleepy.
I enjoy naps.
not my favorite in any stretch of the imagination. It's okay.
Probably the last great Chic verse too.
No, wait, hold on.
Not to say he fell off, but like he didn't have any like great verses after that. Great verses. Because then after this was Styles' time. Mm-hmm. So this is like so after this is Styles along with the Lox or Rough Riders Rockefeller beef. And then after that, like right after that is when Chic starts tearing up mixtapes. When Chic was on everybody's mixtape with a different freestyle.
I mean, Turn It Up with Alchemist was dope. 354 I always liked.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember 354?
Nah. Oh. I don't remember. A lot of the, like, yo, D-Block put out so much music, it all runs into each other in my head. Like, right. I need to go back, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. Like, I really need to go back and listen to, you know, stuff besides D-Block Anthem. And remember when they sampled the Monday Night Football theme?
Yeah.
Like, the really super notable records.
I used to love the beat to Turn It Up. That's Alchemist. It was on, I think, Insomnia.
Oh, that Alchemist album.
And then it was the first single on Chic's album. Anyway, we're almost done. Getting to the end, everybody. Don't worry. We've got a skit, and then we've got Stomp, which is Young One and Trick Daddy.
I used to love this song.
Ugh, it's so bad.
I used to love this song.
No.
You can't put Young One and Trick Daddy on a record together. Because Young One has all this energy, and Trick Daddy does not. It just doesn't right. work. Like, it's not, Trick Daddy was like the hot Southern rapper at the time. So you get Swiss on a very slip and slattery beat. And it didn't work in retrospect, but I used to like the beat and the hook and Young One. Where is Young One? Somebody put an APB out on Young One? I'm just curious. Like, not even in no diss. Like, what happens to you when you're like, I know like Rel is another prime example, but you know, in the writing for other people's R&B artists, so he's always gonna be able to find work. But like, what happens to rappers who sign and then like the label kind of falls off before you get your album? Like, where's Lil Fade at from DTP?
Oh.
Or I-20, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I-20.
What happens to those rappers after all that goes? I don't know, I'm just curious. So where's Shabam Sadiq?
Now I got World War III in my head. Is it World War II? World War III? What's the name of that? Is it World War III? Yeah, that's the other World War III.
Yeah.
So this DMX record, The Great, he should not have sampled that. Like, as soon as it comes on, you're just like, oh no. You don't like that song, do you?
It was all right when I first heard it. It's not good now. See, back then, this is when I was first getting familiar with samples. Now I'm like certain songs I don't want sampled because I like the song.
And then we close with Parlay. Wow, they really just gave Parlay the they gave Parlay the, yeah, we're throwing this on for the heck of it. What happened to Parlay?
Right.
Did Parlay put out an album?
Are they still singing? You know what I'm saying?
Somewhere.
Like, you know how like older groups now who might have had a hit or two, like they can still go on tour. They can tour with a bunch of different, you know, 90s acts or acts during that time period or whatever and be cool. But like, these other acts who just didn't get any rub. Like, where's Christian at? Where's Alan Anthony?
Alan Anthony.
For real. Like, he can come out and sing All Right and Full of Smoke and we'll be straight.
All right. So this is not as good as Volume 1.
At all.
Mm. So that's pretty much, I mean, aside from like random swizzery, right? So in 2000, there's the best Maya's Best of Me, which is really dope. You still want to hear the DMX record. The Limp Bizkit Rollin' remix, which is awful. Listen. But I loved at the time. I did. I can't.
Okay.
Like, I used to love it. And I heard it today and I was just like, oh God. Swiss was responsible for one of the dumbest beats ever on Busta Rhymes' Anarchy album, which would be We Put It Down for Y'all.
Listen, we have to do a Swiss retro.
We can. Because we sort of touched on it. Because it's important. We can sort of wrap this up, which is to say, there was like what Rough Riders as a crew did, but what Swiss did alongside is like they really like changed the sound of New York hip hop.
They did.
Along with really like Ja Rule of Murder Inc. It's not until really what Rockefeller starts to do in 2000, but really not fully until the Blueprint.
Yeah.
That it sort of switches again. So there's there's a run.
Because Blueprint kills the keyboard beats.
Right.
I agree. I was gonna say something else. It's funny, like when you hear those keyboard beats now, and then you go through like the late 2000s and even up until now, like a lot of those like those New York club records are like odes to these keyboard beats.
They really are. And it's funny because what I was gonna say is it's almost astonishing to me how much, maybe the songs aren't always better, right? But, and maybe that's nostalgia talking, but like from a technical point of view, producers are way better now.
Oh my God. I always say that producing has completely eclipsed like MCs. Like the production you hear nowadays is insane.
Like it's really clear. A lot of this stuff is, well, we don't want to use samples and this keyboard sound is hot. So we're just going to try stuff way more complex now.
Yeah.
And maybe some of that, you know, maybe there's something lost with it because there's something to the simplicity, I guess. But like,
yeah, and you kind of have to start somewhere,
right?
So you know, without these, how do we know that artists are, you know, without these, are producers replaying samples? Are producers,
right?
You know, getting into composing and learning how to play keys instead of just, you know, trying to chop something in MPC,
right? Right. And it's, look, I'm not going to say that's a bad thing because what do I do? But just, it's jarring. It's really jarring to, like, if you go back and you hear one song or two songs, like, just because they're on shuffle or you check it out on Spotify or whatever, like, it sounds nostalgic. But to go back and to realize, no, this was the sound.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just, I don't know, it's completely jarring to me.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I, to bring it full circle, what you said when we started, I agree. I think I sort of, because I was really on the hippity hoppity side, like in 99, I was listening to Soundbomb 3 or 2. Was it 2?
Soundbomb 2 was 99. Soundbomb 3 came out later.
Yeah, Soundbomb 2 with Any Man and that stuff. That was like, I was in that mode. I was listening to a lot of Ferromancha's albums still. I was listening to, like, you know, I didn't want to hear this stuff. That was just not what I was into. So I mean, I'm serious. Like, you know, in a very teenager sort of way where you have like your favorites, right? But you go back and you realize, like, first of all, there's, you know, some of this stuff hasn't aged well, but in general, like, huge impact on hip hop. Some of it's completely forgotten. And you are totally right. This idea of when New York tries to make a club hit now. And I kind of almost blame Swiss for this in a sense.
Yeah.
Like, every so often, Swiss will work with, oftentimes it's like he'll work with Jade or work with DMX or somebody who he used to work with, and he tries to pull back the old, like, something that kind of sounds like, you know, actually what Swiss does in like 04 05 06 is what he ends up going back to.
Yeah,
right.
Which is why we need to do the Swiss
right ritual. We need to do a Swiss ritual. But it's all to say, you were right that they totally, like, they really dominated like New York hip-hop, which now doesn't sound like a whole lot, but it meant a whole lot in 98 and 99 and 2000.
Yep.
What was the best part? We will wrap this up real quick. What was the best part for you about listening to all this stuff?
Man, just really realizing that I was a Rough Rider stan. I didn't realize that. I always reference Rockefeller as like one of my favorite eras in music up there. Like, it's like Rockefeller, Bad Boy, Death Row. Not in that order, but just those three.
Right.
And Rough Riders might be right under that. I just didn't realize, like, I knew DMX was my favorite rapper for a minute, but like, I don't think I give them that much credit as much as I should. But it was good. It was a good time. Like, that was high school. And that really, like, for me, this was really nostalgic in a good way. This wasn't a, you know, for me, this wasn't a have these songs held up. This was just a, you know, hey, remember when episode for me. So Like, I don't care if a lot of these songs didn't age well. They're always going to feel and sound a certain way to me, despite how much our ears progress and how much the sound progresses.
Right.
So, you know, shout out to Rough Riders for really having a stamp on, you know, my life and ultimately realizing that they did have a stamp on hip hop that doesn't get as much credit as it should.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, and I would probably still argue this, like, I think some of their influence was not for the best. Like, there are several artists who the prime of their career, several New York hip hop artists, the prime of their career, you could argue the beats that they got were somewhat derailed by this change in sound that Rough Riders brought about, mm-hmm. right? I mean, look what happens to Nostradamus. Look what happens to, I mean, there's some filler records on some of these late 90s J albums. Look what happens to Busta's albums. Like, there are, you almost, in one sense, you feel like, I always looked at it from that perspective before, but I guess what this actually really made me appreciate is, number one, despite all that, they have classics, and the classics, they're goofy, but they work, right? And yep. What it also made me appreciate is, actually, it's Beats Now, in a weird way. Like, you can draw a line. Like, if you go back and listen to a Primo record from 98, it's very difficult to draw a line from that to what you, to like, say, I don't know, something on Drake's album or something, you know. But mm-hmm. you can start to draw the line from this Rough Rider stuff.
Yep.
And so that realization was useful for me. So I appreciated that. And I always liked doing these retros because you get to reminisce, and that's why it's fun. And hopefully everybody who's made it this far, and honestly, I have no idea how many sides or episodes this will end up being, but you should know.
Yeah, we can have a couple, because we're not going to have a show next week.
Right. All together, we've talked for over 3 hours about Rough Riders, and hopefully everybody who stayed the whole time, hopefully y'all appreciated it. As always, use the hashtag #ClockRadioSpeakers and hit us up on Twitter and let us know what you think about all of this. So obviously you don't have to give us a PM on everything, but love to know what people think about DMX's. Really, I assume most people think his first album's a classic, but I'd love to know if anybody else agrees with you about the second album. I'd love to know if people think that Lox album's better than we think it is. And just in general, as always, you know, tell us what you think. Comment on the show on iTunes. Review it on iTunes. Anything else you want to talk about real quick, man? Are you good?
Nah, I'm good, man.
I'm exhausted, as always, but hopefully y'all like the show, and we will catch y'all later.